Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, broadcasting to you live from an undisclosed location in the Mile High City. Now, for your ears' pleasure, Michael Amadei and JT.
To come, orders, singers, musicians to come. Not today is to justify me and answer what I am for, but you, a new brood, native, athletic, continental, greater than before known. Arouse, for you must justify me. I myself but write one or two indicative words for the future. But I advance a moment only to wheel and hurry back in the darkness. I am a man who, sauntering along without fully stopping, turns a casual look upon you and then averts his face, leaving it to you to prove and define it, expecting the main things from you.
Good evening. You're now joining an audience covering thousands of miles of earth and sea. Welcome to the spinning, hellish centrifuge of recovering metaphorical lepers, just now clawing their way out of the dark colony from which we were banished by the gods of health. Welcome to that land that words has built, smoother than a great Philly cheesesteak sandwich. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, I am your host, Michael Amadei. I'm here with the other host, your other host of the evening, the incredibly sexy-voiced Mr. J.T. Gunter.
Well, good evening. How are you?
Oh, my God. No.
I'm only faking a little bit.
Just only faking a little bit. See, the problem is if you talk like that, I'm going to have to talk like this.
That's fine.
And then this sounds like an entirely different type of show.
It sure does.
Okay.
So we're coming back after being pretty under the weather last week.
Oh, my gosh.
Man, I have to apologize to everybody for that short notice. I got here, and I'm looking around. I'm like, you know, you hear someone talking about how after a huge battle, the scent of death descends on the camp.
Yes.
The scent of death was on the camp of World Poetry Open Mic.
It really was.
Man, and we just had to call it.
And it didn't work. I apologize, too. I wish I could have pushed through, but, man, my voice wouldn't have held up. I know that.
Yeah.
It's barely holding on now.
I think it sounds pretty fantastic,
though. Why, thank you. I will just continue to talk like this.
You might as well.
And then 2 weeks ago, I was driving across the vast expanse. It's like explaining an expanse at the same time.
That's right.
I was traveling across the vast expanse of Texas.
Tejas.
And on the way back from the AWA Awards, which I will share some information about this tonight as well.
Sweet.
We're going to wrap up the month of March 2017 here.
Yes.
We're going to announce our Poet of the Month since we didn't do that last week.
Apologies again.
Apologies. But, of course, you know, a few people kind of know, have already guessed it. They may be reading something from them. However, you can also call next week and do the same if you would like.
Absolutely.
Next week we'll be announcing the new one and everything.
Yeah, we'll start giving the hints.
Now, one thing I'm going to throw out, because we haven't talked about this in a few weeks, if you want to support the show, if you're listening and you have not gotten a copy yet, make sure to go onto Amazon. You can click through it from our main page. Or you can go to Amazon.com and search for World Poetry Open Mic. Look for our 2016 anthology. It helps support the show.
Please.
And, I mean, it really is one of the things that keeps us going here with all the different things we have to pay for every month to keep this moving. So, at any rate, I just wanted to throw that out there. Now, we're going to be doing, same as always, for those of you who haven't heard the show before, we're going to be doing a segment of five unique callers.
Yes.
Then we're going to do another segment of five unique callers, and we'll keep going until we don't get five. And then we'll do a return engagement, which is when anybody can call back, or you can call them for the first time and share something then.
Yeah.
We have two rules. First rule, no hate speech. We're not doing it. The world is full of hate and fear right now. We're not doing it. We're not going to help propagate that stuff. And two, no word porn. So if you're going to use, you know, colorful language and things like that to really craft a piece of art, absolutely, we're here for that. If it's just something that's being thrown out because it's just kind of expletive filled and it's just kind of an emotional bent you're on, we probably will pull it back. We try to skew PG-13. We understand if it's an artistic statement. So we'll kind of be judging it as it goes by. But, just try to kind of keep that in mind before you share. With that said, we're going to head to our first segment. Give us a call, 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID, World Poetry Open Mic. Give us a call.
All by myself.
Not when you call World Poetry Open Mic.
You know, we never figured out where that laugh came from.
Nope.
It's one of those things where we did that.
Not when you call World Poetry Open Mic.
And it just
that laugh
happened.
Just appeared. Man.
So weird.
It's just so creepy. Then again, most of my life's pretty creepy.
Yeah,
I've basically figured almost everything that happens to me is some sort of creepy phenomenon. And I really figured out why this creeping sense of dread I've had.
Oh, yeah.
For most of my life. You know, I've been working on that. That's most of, at the root of everything I do, you know, every sandwich I order, everything I eat is basically like, maybe this will help me deal with the impending sense of dread.
Right.
And eventually, my brother James said something that made total sense to me. He goes, I'm always scared because I know that inside all of us, there's a spooky skeleton just waiting to get out.
Oh.
Deep thoughts.
Deep thoughts.
Yeah. Anyway, okay, so we have five great poets lined up here. However, we're going to go to a submission first of all.
Thank you, Philip. I appreciate that. I will look into that some more, too.
You got more volume?
Yeah, he wants more volume
okay.
out of us.
So let's do some more volume on the microphones if we can. Should I sit here and vamp it? You want me to vamp it?
Yes, please keep doing that.
Just keep snapping.
Don't talk.
You can tell I'm totally in practice, right? I'm totally in practice right now. So let me quickly while you're getting that set up, let me talk a little bit about the AWA trip that I took a couple weeks ago down
please.
To Texas. Okay,
yes.
Yeah.
The
American
Wrestling Association.
Yes, that was it. No, it's the American. The American, it was the Academy of Western Artists.
Oh, nice.
Okay, so this was an award show that was for people who did a lot of Western art, sculptures, things like that, as well as things like cowboy poetry and music and everything. And it was really cool. We didn't win. We did not win Group of the Year. However, that was awesome because we spent the rest of the time just walking around trolling people, which is what two grown men do, naturally. So we had a good time with it. I got to drive down with David Bradley, who's the head of the Flying W Wranglers. If you were watching my Facebook, if we're friends, you will have seen I had posted that, or the Flying W Wranglers Facebook page, you would see it there also. However, you know, it's just something that... we had a great time doing it. I had a lot of great connections, met a lot of great poets as well, and I've invited some of them to call. I actually did meet a poet, and I won't name her name, who recognized the name of the show. I mentioned that I was from World Poetry and Open Mic, and she said, no way!
That's right, you did.
Yes.
I remember you talking to me about that.
So
yeah.
I think it's cool, and I think we're going to try to start finding a way to kind of cross, and we might have a lot more cowboy poets starting to call because more and more that you know the name of the show is getting out there. And I'm looking forward to it. I think that'd be really cool. JT, how we're doing over there?
Ooh, did that do something? Ooh, that I think that did something.
You think that just did something?
I hit a button.
did you turn up the suck button? Is that
I think
the,
so. I turned it up.
Yeah, someone's had that on for a long time when I do certain Studio X's. Man.
Right. Hey, my Philip, tell me how you sound.
Yeah, okay. So anyway, we're basically vamping right now. We're normally not this completely disorganized. We're kind of waiting to get a volume corrected so people can actually hear what's going on. JT, let me ask you this while we're waiting for an answer here.
Yes, sir.
How was your week?
Well, aside from being sick for 5 days, yeah, I missed 2 days of work, which really sucked, and having no voice, and no kidding, this was it.
Yeah.
And that took effort.
When I called, I was like, wow, you're
yeah.
You're a member of the Death Eaters now. This is awesome.
It was really weird. I wanted to like, record it down and
Michael,
do some,
you filthy mudblood.
You know, I wanted weird. To do stuff like that, and that's right. I did go out that night. I was yelling at your window.
You were yelling?
At your window.
What?
You didn't hear?
No.
Oh, see? Okay.
I would have responded if you were yelling at the window. What were you saying?
Michael.
Did you? Why?
Well, I wanted you to come outside.
Yeah. So this begs the question, like, what was the deal and how come I don't know about this until now?
Well, okay. See, what it was if I get you outside, then I can get you off of your safe ground, out of your boundary, and that way the vampire in me can then take over.
Oh, I got it now.
And then I can get you. But apparently the Gary Oldman trick of crossing oceans of time.
Yes. I've crossed oceans of time and still could not speak well enough.
Okay, anyway.
I think
we're okay.
I think the volume is okay because I can see this pegging almost the clip line. Well, not the clip line, but, you know.
Well, Philip's talking about French tickler. And, yeah. You know, so
see, the volume thing just got me in trouble. Yes.
No one's in trouble, Philip.
You're fine.
All right.
Thank you,
Philip. So we're going to go with this. We're going to go with, this is a submission from Stan Phillips. It's a short one. Here we go. You can get away from anything and everything in your life. Except your own mind. That SOB will follow you everywhere. Thank you, Stan Phillips. That was his contribution this week.
That was great.
It's kind of true, too.
Yeah.
It is true. Boy, you know what I realized I do something? Before we go to the next caller, you know what I realized I've been doing? So I pay for this meditation app on my phone. It's a guided meditation thing. Reminds me I can schedule it. I can go through any variety of ways. I pay $10 a month for this.
Yeah.
I'm paying $120 a year to meditate.
Yes.
Okay.
Something that you already know how to do.
Well, yeah, but this does, I find that this does help do it. I can cancel it. And here's the thing. I'm debating. So I would actually, if you're okay with this, I would like to ask the people who call in, when you call in, right when we come on the air, tell me yay or nay. Cancel it or not cancel it. This is the Calm.com app. What do you think I should do? Should I keep paying $10 a month for a guided meditation? It's beautiful. There's all kinds of different ones, different music, different visuals.
Oh, so it gives
they
you
talk
music
you through
and
it.
Okay.
It's a timer. It's everything. It's really, really cool. But of course you can meditate without paying money to do it. So $120 a year, I mean, that's, you know,
well, yeah.
$10 a month. It's not much, but that adds up, and I just don't know if I can justify it. So tell me what you think, yay or nay. In the meantime, let's go right away to someone I know heard none of this. Let's go to Lorraine in New York.
Come on, Skype.
Yeah, let's see how Skype is.
There we go.
Hey, Lorraine, how are you?
Hey, how you doing? Now, you know, I called last week, but I couldn't get through.
Yep.
Well, you guys offer.
We were sick.
Yeah, for the first time.
Sick.
For the first time
really?
Ever, for the first time really ever in this show, we...
And it made me ill because I couldn't get through. Well, are you better now?
You know, well, we're here. Absolutely. We're much better now. I'm so glad, though, that now us being sick and now has been added onto some guilt because you were right. I'm so sorry,
absolutely.
Lorraine.
Absolutely. No, I missed you terribly.
Well,
no,
and you know what? We missed you. Actually, I've been off. Personally, I've been off for 2 weeks because I was gone the week before also. You know, JT and Christine ran the show, and they did a great job. But I missed being on here, and so, you know.
I'm sure you did. Yeah.
Now, can I ask you a question? I'm asking a question for everybody who's calling in. I know you didn't hear it.
You go ahead.
But I'm just trying to take a vote. So, you know, Lorraine, I like to meditate twice a day, right? I do about 10 minutes two times a day. And I've been paying for this app on my phone, $10 a month, but it's guided meditations. There's music. There's all kinds of visuals. There's all kinds of different types of meditations on it. And I enjoy it, but it's $120 a year. And so I'm going to ask everybody who's calling in, is that, it's $10 a month, but that's $120 a year.
Well, yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yay or nay? Should I keep it or should I get rid of it? What do you think?
Keep it.
Then keep it?
Yeah, keep it because it's helping you and you feel better with it.
Well, I mean, I can meditate without it.
I think
it,
you should go with it.
You think so? Okay. I'm going to mark one down in the keep it column.
Yeah.
All right,
mark one down in the keep it.
Oh, yeah. I legitimately, if the vote is for me to get rid of it, I will get rid of it or I will keep it based on what you guys say.
No,
I'm interested.
Legitimately, you have to decide yourself. If you feel better afterward, then keep it.
Right.
If it doesn't make a difference to you, then don't keep it.
Well, Lorena, you know, I have made my decision. My decision is to ask you and let you guys arbitrarily figure it out for me.
I love meditation. I love meditation.
No, it's great. Oh,
it's great.
I meditate one way or another. I meditate one way or another. It's just the question of the app itself, you know. So
it's a great question.
Yeah. Okay. Great so anyway, question. How are you doing? How's everything with you?
I'm doing good. I was kind of under the weather because you guys didn't answer last week, and I felt very badly. But I've gotten over that, and I'm good.
We would never have done that if we weren't really, really sick.
I'm sure you wouldn't have. So. I said to myself, it's got to be something that's going on there, you know. And now that I heard from you, I feel so much better because I was feeling a little, you know, under the weather. But now that, you know, I understand what happened and, you know, that you're okay, I'm good.
Good. Very good. Well, so what do you have for us to share with tonight?
Okay. I'm going to share with you something I wrote a while ago. And it has no, like most of my stuff, has no title. It starts like this. She held on to the blanket that was soiled and torn, remembering the cries when her child was born. Her pain had been muffled by noise nearby as she quietly hummed a soft lullaby. A young boy lay lifeless, covered with blood, about 10 yards away in a ditch caked with mud. Smoke billowed forth from what once was her room. Devastation was widespread, extending the gloom. The town she grew up in, the people she knew, no longer existed as the fear in her grew. Gunfire echoed somewhere in the distance, met by screams of those trapped by resistance. The ones who survived were expressions of terror. The children who perished, was their death an error? What could they have done to inspire such hate? Did these innocents prophesy fate? The mother, now sobbing with no one to hold her, heard footsteps approaching, recognizing the soldier. His uniform offered much needed relief. Her sorrow was silenced and welcome, but brief. No longer alone, she gave thanks in prayer. And for that brief moment, faith hung in the air. She lovingly handed her child to him. His eyes showed a kindness the war hadn't dimmed. He reached for the baby as he laid his gun down. And through all the chaos, a new hope was found. And boom. Thank you.
Very, very nice.
Thank you.
Is that what was
good to hear you guys?
Well, good to hear you too. And we're so happy that you called. And you know, we are sorry. We actually, it was really not an easy decision for us last week to do that. We've never done that in almost 5 years. So
yeah,
we you know, sometimes things happen when you do it for this long, and
things happen.
You
yeah.
know, but
yeah.
we don't plan on that happening. happening again now. Just,
hopefully it won't happen.
Now, just so you know, though, so you do know, we will be taking a Good Friday.
Well, Good Friday's coming
off.
Up, right?
Yeah. We will be taking that off.
Yeah.
But
I wouldn't even try to call in that, you know. But I feel that you guys are particularly, faithful to the calendar, and I respect that. So, you know, I'm going to back off, and I am with you on that. So, you know, after Easter, you know, we'll get together again.
Absolutely.
After Easter, the Keisters Absolutely. Come back. That's what happens.
Okay, and I wish you the best and the merriest of holidays and the healthiest and all that good stuff. And I'll talk to you afterward.
Hey, thank you,
Wonderful,
Lorraine.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you. Goodbye. Okay, bye-bye.
And that was Lorraine calling us live. That wasn't pre-recorded, strangely enough.
No.
Could you tell?
You know what? I could. It's so strange. I could actually tell it was not pre-recorded.
It's odd how it works, man. It's odd how it works. All right, so that was Lorraine calling from New York live and uncut. I don't know. All right, let's go to Michigan and Dennis. Wait. Dennis in Michigan.
There you go.
Oh my God.
Wow, that was great.
It's been
well done.
How are you, Dennis?
Oh, yeah.
Oh man.
Here well I done, am. Michael.
Jeez. This isn't going well. Well, Dennis, I'm happy that you're on the line. Maybe you can save us. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing just fine. It's Friday night, and if you take Good Friday off and miss that one, that's fine, because every other Friday night that you're online is the Good Friday. So
oh,
it's all
thank
good.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dennis. Very
and
much.
I think you ought to drop that meditation. If,
you, think
if
so?
You have to question that whether you should keep it or not, that doubt is worth dropping.
You know what? I think that's a really solid point, Dennis. All right, I'm marking that down too in the lose it column.
Okay. So
all right.
So far.
All right.
All right.
So how are you? It's been a couple of weeks since I really got a chance to talk to you. How's everything going?
Everything's going well. Like I told you a few weeks ago, I'm getting ready for a poetry reading in April.
Yeah.
And I have 21 poets lined up to read in one evening at a special place in town here. And it's going to be a wonderful night of poetry, and it's our way to celebrate the National Poetry Month for April.
That's great.
And we always have a lot of fun with it.
That's great.
That's awesome. Awesome.
Wonderful.
Well, and actually, you know, JT, I'm gonna announce something a little bit later. I was thinking about. I'll ask
oh,
you before
yeah.
I do it.
Yeah.
Before I do it, I'll talk to you.
Okay.
But at any rate, Dennis, you know, I think you might know a little bit about what's going on, but we'll be hopefully announcing something in the show, asking for help because I think we need help. But you know, it's we'll be in touch about that, of course, and we'll just do it on the show. At any rate, what did you bring for us this week?
Okay, well, I don't have a poem of my own to share with you tonight, but I'd like to read a cover poem. And it is written by Leonard Nimoy. And the title is, I Am Convinced. And it goes like this. I am convinced that if all mankind could only gather together in one circle, arms on each other's shoulders, and dance, laugh, and cry together, then much of the tension and burden of life would fall away. In the knowledge that we are all children, needing and wanting each other's comfort and understanding, we are all children searching for love. End of poem.
Dennis, that was wonderful. Great read. And you know what? You might as well be the one to help us do it because we haven't actually physically announced it. Dennis, do you want to say the name of the Poet of the Month for March?
Well, I'd be glad. I'd be honored to be able to do that.
All right.
The name of the poet for March is Leonard Nimoy. And this is just a selection of some of the thoughtful poetry that he has published.
I'm
glad I was able to share it.
You know, we're really glad to have you read it, and I think that was great to have
you
able to announce it. A guy that I played with back with the Flying W Wranglers back in 2006, 2007, started as for fun as a side job, was driving a taxi in Colorado Springs, and one day got a call from the International Space Symposium at the Broadmoor Hotel to go pick some special guest up at the airport. So he gets there, and it was Leonard Nimoy. And he picked up Leonard Nimoy, and he drove him all the way to the Broadmoor, and Nimoy gave him an $80 tip to get down there, which he thought was... And he just couldn't believe it. He was just over the moon about...
Yes, I understand that.
Yeah, as you would be, right? Who wouldn't be? So anyway, we were really impressed with his poetry as well, and I can't think anyone better to announce it than you, Dennis. So thanks so much.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate the opportunity, and I appreciate this show and everything you do for it. So I'm going to step aside from the mic, let the next poet step up, and I'm going to say God bless.
God bless, Dennis.
God bless.
All right, and that was Dennis calling all the way from Michigan.
Not Michigan calling from Dennis.
Sorry. I've done that one time.
I know. I could not.
That was pretty good, though. I wish it had been on purpose. All right. So going from Michigan, we're going to go to a natural place, another poet whose voice I've missed so much. We're so happy she can join us tonight. It's Cynthia from Vancouver. Cynthia, how are you?
Good. I'm so happy to have this night off to be here.
Oh, we're really happy you're here, too. I mean, I haven't been on for 2 weeks, and so I've been kind of missing it, and it's great to be able to come back and hear your voice. It feels as it should be.
Yeah, it's so nice to come back, like my poetry family.
We hope so. So what have you been up to? Let me ask you this before we get into the poetry. What's life been like since we really hung out last at POSIC?
I've been having a really fun time. I've been busy. So I've been teaching workshops all over, getting invited to little businesses and things
to
do poetry workshops.
Oh, wonderful.
So that's been really fun.
That sounds a lot of fun. So you're doing quite a few of those, or how?
Yeah, they're catching on. So I'm starting to go into businesses and adjust my little nature poetry workshop to suit whatever the business is.
Oh, that's great.
So one of them is a flower shop, and sometimes we do it out. It's pretty rainy right now. It's not quite outdoor time yet, but sometimes we do it outside. But I've been adjusting it to whatever the business clientele want. So it's been really fun.
That's really cool. So if you don't mind, I mean, what is something that you, what do you kind of talk them through when it's in those kinds of workshops?
What we do is I bring in all my stuff. It's all the stuff I've collected over the years that I feel safe with. It's how it started.
Okay.
So I have my little Dead Sea rock that I bring in, and people all hold one. And when you're holding a rock from under the Dead Sea that might have healing property, that may or may not have healing property, but it's still pretty cool. How can you be nervous, right? So you're holding this really fun rock, and you write stuff down. So everyone just holds all the, it's like show and tell for adults.
Oh, that's okay.
So I bring in all my awesome stuff. I bring in my sand dollar from Tofino, and we pass it around. Everybody touches it. And people just make little notes on how it feels and what it looks like. And if you shake the sand dollar, there's a little bit of sand in it that makes a sound. And I bring in sweetgrass and anything that I like.
Yeah.
And then people add to it. My students add to it. And I'm at the flower shop. The woman has so many gorgeous, like, orchids and the grass and all the things that don't go into the bouquets we can use to pass around so people can write about them.
Interesting. So
people just make little notes on, you know, the color, and then they really look at a flower and look at all the different shades in it. So there's some, it's like a painting, right? Like flowers are like paintings to me. I mean, paintings are based on flowers, maybe.
Yeah, no, I think that's a very apt, an apt thing, yes.
Yeah. Wow. So we just look at all the beautiful things around us, depending on what people want. Like, I work for a healing fair a lot, so people are looking for something gentle and nice.
Okay.
And I work for a lot of tourism agencies. I get hired to do workshops. So people are coming from all over the world to Vancouver, and they just probably want to have nice memories. You can also, like, I also totally support people writing horror poems, whatever they want, right?
Right.
Especially some of my students like to do, like, the opposite of all that and do, like, go for the horror when one of the stones looks like blood. So you can go that way. But we pass things around, and they have a memory. They have a poem of their experience in Vancouver and some memories of what it was like to be here and touch everything and, you know, see it. They can even bring a bit of sand home if they want. There's some sand that spills out.
That's really cool. Yeah.
And stuff. But it's been really fun. It was something I started to do with my students because I worked at the Reading Foundation for a while, and they do multi-sensory learning. They make sure that when you're teaching someone, especially someone with dyslexia, you want to have, and Michael might do this a lot too, you want to have something that's visual and oral, and that's also a manipulative that they can touch.
Yep.
So that, I learned this at the Reading Foundation with just teaching language, that we want people to pick up each letter and touch it and feel it and feel how it's different from every other one. So yes. Then I started to do that with everything. So now I teach Shakespeare that way. I do everything. We want to touch it and feel it. And then it just became what I do on Friday night sometimes.
That's wonderful. No, multi-sensory teaching. That is something I do all the time. Yeah.
Yeah. It changes everything for me.
That's wonderful.
So that's what I do. I just go out into the world and I get to run these little workshops and meet people from all over. And then they go home and they have a poem of their time in Vancouver and hopefully nice memories.
Oh, that's so cool. That's a great
thing. But it's also nice to have a night off and just come to my poetry family and read my work.
Oh, absolutely. And we're so happy to have you. But it's also kind of cool to know that when you're not here, you're kind of out doing something great. And so that makes us proud.
I'm out having a lot of fun.
So
like
happy to hear it.
Hanging out with my artist friend, too. Last night I went to an art exhibit. My friend was the framer, so he got to match. He matched all the pictures to an appropriate frame that fit the mood. So I went and did that. And,
great.
I've been having a fun time.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, Cynthia, thanks so much for telling us. I mean, you can tell how much you love it because your voice kind of lights up, and that's so cool. But let's do this. What do you have to share with us? And then we'll talk after, okay?
And then I'll vote. I have a short one.
Okay.
Tonight.
All right.
So this is my poem. I do a little column called Movement in Light, and it's for a healing magazine in Vancouver. So this is my short little piece. It's called Trusting the Sacred Within. It's all in the shade of a blossom, the mystical flow of spring, the way spider webs shimmer in evening light, ever in process, content with the pace, allowing ourselves to breathe outside. End poem.
Very, very nice, Cynthia. It's so good to hear your voice on here. This is great. It's great. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. That's a brand new one.
Is it?
It's for the April 1st Movement and Light column.
Wow, that's awesome. So, Cynthia, let me ask you this. What's your vote on the meditation app? Should I keep it or get rid of it?
I vote to keep it. Okay. I'm with Lorraine on it because, and it's interesting, I have the same reasoning as Dennis, but I went the other way. Like, obviously, there's the presence of doubt, but there's also the presence of wanting to keep it.
Right.
And so I think when it's time to let it go, you won't have a debate.
Ah,
that's my. It's like me with exercise. I pay for exercise right now because even though I could theoretically do it for free, paying for it makes me do it.
Ah, yes.
And I also think you're allowed to have good things even if they cost money.
Well, I think that's that's one thing I was thinking about. It's like, look, I could be splitting hairs over this $120 a year that I spend on this. However, there's a bunch of other junk that I probably unconsciously spend money on every month that I could cut out before I cut out the meditation part, you know?
Yeah. So I would keep it.
Okay. Okay, cool. Uh-huh. So I'm going to put, so we have two for keep and one for get rid of so far. Okay.
And also, there'll come a time where you don't have to ask anymore because you'll know which way you want to go with it.
I think that's a great point, too.
Yep. And I have one last piece of advice. My friend calls it positive stress. Like, the first time I got myself a really nice apartment in the nice part of the city, I freaked out because I've never paid that much rent for myself for something good for me.
Yeah.
And he called it positive stress. And I kept the apartment, and I can still pay for it, and I have a nice life here, and it worked out.
Wonderful.
But it was kind of almost stressful to do something good just for me that costs money.
Yes, that's a
but
real thing, isn't it?
But I get it.
Do you know there's an actual word for positive stress? Do you know, instead of distress?
What is it?
And so distress is negative stress. eustress, E-U, and then
is
eustress
cool. Okay.
is a positive stress. Yeah.
So it might be a little bit of EU stress.
Yeah, you stress.
So I would keep it,
yes.
Keep it and enjoy it until you're 100% sure you don't need it.
Wonderful. Wonderful. That's a great, great advice. Thanks so much, Cynthia.
Okay, thanks for having me on the show.
Of course.
No, thank you.
We'll talk to you soon, okay? All right, and that was Cynthia calling all the way from Vancouver. It's kind of cool. We're just like shooting all around the country like we normally do.
Yeah.
I feel so connected, you know. I feel like the country and Canada has my back.
Let's hope.
Let's hope they do. Michael, you're going to need it.
Yeah.
Okay. So, speaking of someone who has my back, I'm sure she's not going to make me feel bad at all for us canceling next week or last week. Let's go to Barbara in Connecticut. Barbara, are you there? Ba-dum-da-dum. Barbara, can you hear me? Barbara, can you hear me? Dun-dun-dun-dun. Barbara, can you hear me? I don't think Barbara can hear me.
Wow.
All right. Barbara?
I don't know what happened to her in the chat room.
Let's do this. She was there, but maybe she had to get up and go do something. So let's do this. Should we go down to Philip and then leave her on and we'll try to come back?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, no. Barbara's in the chat room now.
Hey.
Barbara,
you're on.
We're waiting for you. Barbara.
She is here, but not.
Mary, you're messing with my mind right now. All right, let's do this. Let's put Barbara on hold. Let's go to Philip.
Got it.
And let's see what we can do. Barbara, if you're listening to this, we'll do Philip, and then we'll come back and see if you're still there. All right. Felipe, my friend. Are you serious? What's going on here?
I swear I've done nothing. The microphone is on.
Okay, yeah. Everything's there.
The volume is up.
Where is everybody going? This is craziness.
What happened?
Well, I mean,
either that or he's playing a great joke.
To be fair.
Oh, see, there we go. But they can't hear me. Barbara. Hang on. I'm going to play
some. Oh, okay. There's something going on.
I'll try back with Barbara.
Okay, let's see. Barbara, okay. We're going to keep trying. Yeah, we'll figure out. There's some sort of tech thing going on right now.
Hey, Barbara. Nope. Okay, have them call back.
Okay, Barbara, can we have you call back? Please, and then Philip, we'll just have you call back when it comes time. So, Barbara, just give us a shout back. Maybe it was something that happened with the software. I don't know.
Internet, such a fickle thing.
Man.
What a fickle mistress it is.
Internet, what a fickle mistress.
Ready?
Let's see if it works.
Here we go. 1, 2, 3.
Internet. Barbara, we can hear you. I don't know what happened.
I don't know either.
It was so weird.
I don't know what happened either. I got on the phone, and I was singing to you.
Well, that's a good step. Oh, okay. Were you singing? Now, what were you singing? Because I was singing the Who's Tommy.
And I was singing Who's Tommy, because I could hear you.
Oh, were you?
So you said, Barbara, can we hear you? And then I said, can you feel me near you?
Oh, perfect, perfect. Good. I'm glad you caught that. That's one thing I actually like about doing this show is that I can make little jokes and puns like that, and people actually know what I'm talking about. Do you realize how rare it is people know what I'm talking about, Barbara?
Of course I do. I'm of a certain generation. I know that. I saw that in person before they even put it on a movie. Yeah.
Well, you know, that's my father grew up learning to play that off the LP record in Durango, Colorado. And when I was growing up as a teenager, I think I was like 14, I learned how to play most of it the same way, you know, from the actual album and everything. So it's fond memories.
Wild memories of that. Sorry, I just don't know what happened. So it must have been
it was a software thing, Barbara. It was just none of us.
It's not you.
Yeah, it wasn't you.
Had the same thing. So We're going to do the
exact same. It's the software glitches.
Yep.
They're coming to get us because it's the end of March.
Right.
It's the end of March,
right.
Yeah. And tomorrow, the real joke will be on
April
all of us.
Day.
Yeah, I feel like I'm supposed to be, I'm supposed to be recording bass parts and then potentially going with Draven Gray, who might actually still be in the chat room.
He is.
Going to Denver Fashion Week tomorrow night.
Awesome.
We'll see.
Oh, that's cool.
But, yeah.
I didn't even know they have a Denver Fashion Week.
Oh, we got fashion in Denver, Barbara. We have fashion.
We're not just one hitching post.
Yeah.
Wow.
We're two.
Fashion in Denver.
Fashion in Denver.
Ooh.
I know. It's probably not as cool as fashion in Connecticut, but it's definitely there.
No. No. I must tell you, some of the fashion in Connecticut is... It's quite interesting. Yes, definitely.
We're home of the city dwelling lumberjack look. That's something we have going on here. That's a real thing. I'm actually not kidding. Anybody from Denver who listens to this will know that I'm telling the truth. Anyway.
Okay, so I'm going to skip my garden poem for last week and read you this one because I feel this one is more like the one I'd like to be reading. And it's called, actually, the prompt was Amorphous and Reverie.
Okay.
So here goes. Finding clarity in a reverie of amorphous memories. In her reverie, his image appeared, amorphous as the events surrounding him always were, wrapped in a fog of dreamlike clouds. And she wondered if clarity would ever be found as she searched the years for memories so enveloped in the undefined moments that were their lives, ignoring the times when she would rather have hidden in a closet and not had to be there to witness the events, an unwilling witness to the destruction of a person by his own body, unsure of how to smooth it over and make things better, only there to watch and comfort. And she remembered his expansive grin when he saw her, the width of his chest as he held her, and the feel of his dress shirt against her cheek when he walked through the door, exhausted from the day, but still that grin sparkling in his eyes as he looked at her. And she missed those times, now revealing themselves in sharp contrast as the mist cleared, and she honed in on the good times when they were a couple and life was the next experience they would encounter in their journey along the road together, a toad's wild ride of a life, careening from here to there in wild abandon, figuring it all out as they went. She ever the optimist and he the planner, always thinking years ahead as he put together the structure of his existence, ever pushing onward in his quest to explore the world and grab all he could find into his mind, as if he were gobbling up the events of life to store in his head. And she, not knowing it then, was the glue that kept them together. And she didn't realize until it all came apart. She left alone with only her memories. She contemplated the years when they were carefree and filled with hope, when time was amorphous and endless, the time when he was whole and her lover, the tremors of love beating in their hearts, filling them with a bravado, an armor against the world's barbs, forging a bond so strong, only when it broke did she realize how painful it is to become unglued. End poem.
Very, very nice. I really enjoyed that one, Barbara.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. That was difficult. That was a sad poem for me because, you know, bringing back all those memories, it's really sad.
Yeah. I can imagine.
But anyway.
All right.
But anyway, on to better things. And I will get off the phone so Philip can get on because
sounds good.
I know he gave up his spot for me. He's such a gentleman.
He's a gentleman.
Don't let him hear that, though.
Yeah, he will strongly object to it, to that title. And, you know, that's one of the things I really like about him. So,
I know. Such a humble person, too.
He's so
all
humble.
Right, anyway, enough about Philip. Let him get on the phone, and I'll talk to you later.
Do you think he would... I think it would be great to have him actually do a piece called Why I'm So Humble.
Wow.
I think that would be... anyway, okay. Barbara, we'll talk to you.
I think he would take you up on that.
Oh, too. I know he would. I know he would. It'd be great. at any rate. Okay, Barbara, we'll talk to you during the return engagement, hopefully.
Talk to you later. Okay. All right. Bye, guys.
Bye. And that was Barbara calling us all the way from Connecticut, home of the Con Men. That would be a great name for a sports team. The Connecticut Con Men. Or the Connecticut Con Artists. We don't want to be... gender exclusive.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Matchstick Men.
Great movie. Great movie.
I just saw it.
Did you really?
Well, I was sick. So I'm
so you're laying there going through stuff. It was pretty good.
Oh.
I think Nick Cage, there is some of his acting choices are
God.
So crazy.
That was great because of all of the little ticks and the nuances that
really
he put
good.
In. I was like,
well, it's Ridley Scott, too. Great movie.
Oh, I didn't know it was Ridley.
Oh, yeah. That's a Ridley Scott movie.
Well, sweet.
Yeah.
Hey, Philip, call.
Yeah, Philip, give us a shot, man.
Now.
We're trying to vamp. We're just vamping, man.
Here I am in this wonderful voice for you.
Yeah, keep going. Do you want to tell a story?
Sure. What story would you like to hear?
A story about the best piece of pizza you've ever had.
The best piece of pizza I had was 3 weeks ago in a long, dark alley. Yes, I said long, dark alley.
Okay, wait.
No?
How did you get this piece of pizza in a long, dark alley?
Well, you see, there's this guy I know, and he took it all the way from another location.
Okay.
Brought it into me, wrapped up in foil inside of a thermal bag.
What?
Yeah. And then he goes, hey, buddy, you want a piece of pizza? And I'm like, yeah, I want a piece of pizza. He goes, I'll sell it to you for $2.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm like, I've got $2. Yeah. Sure. Is it safe? He goes, absolutely.
Just trust the guy. Trust him. Why wouldn't you?
And I'm like, why, thank you, Ray. I appreciate it. So I unwrapped a piece of pizza, and there it was in all of its glory.
Oh, my gosh.
Lots of meat, lots of cheese,
yeah.
Some sauce.
How old was it?
I don't know, but there were some green things on it, but it was warm.
Well, hey.
I ate it, and apparently 2 weeks later I got sick.
Yeah, see, that's what I was going to say. That might have had something to do with it. It's like pizza de muck.
Yeah.
Well, Philip, seeing that we're not apparently getting anywhere.
And I'm telling a horrible, horrible story.
Yeah. I do appreciate that story, man. I think there's a lot to be said, and I think that we're really underestimating your ability as a storyteller.
Well,
to be honest.
Well, thank you.
You know, I think we should explore this more in the future.
You know, I do run a game on certain weekends.
Oh, that's true. You do.
A
you
very
do.
Specific type of game.
It's like a Taken game. That sounded weird now, dude.
I have a very specific set of skills.
We play a very specific game. We get a new player. He has to take off all his clothes, and we make him run in my backyard while we shoot at him with little darts.
That's a different kind of game.
It's called, otherwise, when you go into Congress, it's otherwise known as the initiation ceremony. All
you
right.
know what? I think Philip ran to the bathroom.
I think we're just gonna move on. We'll give him a spot in the next.
Not a worry.
The next thing. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So let's just do that. So let's get ready. We're gonna do the second segment. We're gonna stop kind of vamping and wasting time here. So 720-240-9766. We need 5 unique callers.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic. Give us a call. Christine.
Yes, Michael.
You know what you get when you throw 4 chickens in a bathtub?
Pure poultry.
That's right. World Poultry Open Mic.
That's nice.
Great stuff, isn't it?
It's great stuff. You know, pure poultry.
Pure poultry.
Yep. That would, guess that would make me a poult.
Poult?
P-O-U-L-T.
Poult.
Poult.
I don't know what that is.
It sounds weird.
Sounds very weird.
Sounds weird. Yeah. Sounds like an Eastern European problem. Anyway, and I don't mean the Poles or the Polacks. No. That would be racist.
Right. We're
nationalist or whatever.
Whatever it is.
And
I
am neither of those things.
Right. No, you were making mention of poultry.
Yes.
Poult.
Poult. P-O-U-L-T.
Right.
Yeah. And the stuff I have would be poultry.
Is that the way that works?
I don't know.
Because, you're not a bake.
Yeah.
You're a baker.
But then again,
are you a poulter?
Well, I'm a baker, but bakery might be the things that I carry with me. The stuff that I'm saying?
I don't know.
Yeah, but see, then again, I'm the kind of person who thinks, like, the plural of moo is not moos, it's moof. I mean, so maybe we should just move on.
Maybe we should just move on. That's okay. A little weird.
Let's just move on.
Okay.
All right, let's go to some place with a semblance of intellectual rigor. Let's go to Kentucky.
Home of poultry.
Home of fried poultry. It's a place that they run from like the salmon from Capistrano.
Wow.
Let's go to Philip in Kentucky. How are you, sir?
I am well, and I'm sorry if I caused any confusion there. No. I thought you guys said you were calling me, and I was just sitting there. Oh. I was just sitting there waiting for you guys, and I'm like, yep, that's my life, just waiting for somebody to call me and
staring at the phone. And now you actually heard what actually happened. You're staring at the phone, and people are stalling, and you're thinking, why aren't they calling me? Why are they telling the story about pizza?
And then I look on the. Yeah, and everybody's like, I can tell they're getting a little hostile. It's like, what's he doing grinding? And I do. I want to let everybody know I do grind the beans with my knees.
Which is hilarious, by the way.
It's a method that's rarely, but it produces the best tasting coffee.
I'm sure
really
it does. I'm going to have to try some.
Well, I'm so glad that we got this all figured out. And it's so nice to be here. So thank you for your patience.
Oh, well, thank you, Philip. I'm glad we got it together.
And I'm moving to Dennis. Like Michigan.
You're moving to Dennis. I hear Michigan. If there's a lot of people there like Michigan, Dennis is going to be a great time.
Good stuff.
Well, yes. All right. It's good to be here. Thank you so much. And I will be quick. I know they're already mad at me. So I'll just get to it.
You know, Philip, I got to be honest. We told some people that you were number one caller, and they were all crying. We have to say there's a lot of crying going on the other.
I'm like the family dog. I'm always happy to be a scapegoat for anything. So you know.
See, I'm kind of like the family dog where I'm.
On me.
I'm like the family dog in where I don't have I might not have anything going on, but if you walk in and you're ready to party, I'm just down because whatever, you know.
Right, that's pretty much me. I'm easy going, so. All right. Well, here we go. Got a little one that, by the way, I've been back in the pool. So this one was born out of that process of going back to the pool, ran into an old friend. So I called this poem Draping a Moment Before It Could Be Properly Hemmed. And this is for Brad. Saw you at the YMCA pool tonight, B. Windows steamed, scented with chlorine, dimly sunlit at tawny dusk, simple or complex as a Rothko, depending on what memories one brings to his twilight oils. Already digressed from straightforward simplicity when the occasion was only a passing hello. Just like me, our brief encounter revised in a manner to unfurl a few awkward associations odd as lonesomeness at clumsy small talk. The little things, even between acquaintances, strangers, the two of us scheduled again to cross paths perchance as old men. Anyway, so much I wanted to say besides pointing out how you'd lost where I'd gained weight, the facetious excuses about living too good, a chump's lie for sure, as only a few years prior, my home address was here. 200 Spartan square feet, scribbling out lines whose meters uneven spanned beyond that room, crowded with the human condition, the unwashed, stale odor of poverty. Didn't even have the chance to tell you I'm divorced now and living elsewhere, a peaceful place embroidered with the concept of the future, meaning I do my best to carry on until tomorrow in case we meet again, sir. And there it is.
I like that one. I do.
Well, thanks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, thank you. So thank you, handsome.
Oh, well, you're very, very welcome, my friend. No, so,
what?
You, you big flirt. No, so.
You big flirt. And by the way, you look dang handsome in that hat you had on.
That's tonight. The only reason I wear the damn thing, Philip. No.
No, right? I'm like, it's a movie star. Where you going, Michael?
I'm going to go movie star some problems. That's what I'm going to go do. No.
And may I be very quick, just ask you one real quick question?
Yes, sir.
Okay, as I was waiting in the confusion of, you know, staring at the phone, are the same notes sharps as they are going one direction but flats going the other direction?
Essentially. So.
Essentially, okay.
So if you're looking at, say, like a G, the G note, the next half step up would be G sharp. The next half step down would be G flat. However, if we went to, say, F, we use flats in that key. So the thing that would normally be called A sharp, if we were just going straight up from A, is called B flat in the key of F. So there's just different ways that we do things. So like F starts with one flat and then goes to two in B flat, and then E flat goes to three, and then A flat goes to four, and so on. It's a circle of fifths, and it's not that hard to do.
Right.
So if you want to understand,
really,
look at circle of fifths, yeah.
Okay, well, I was just curious and interesting. Thank you for answering that. And
of course.
Anyhow, on to the next reader, indeed. Enough of me, right? Let's go.
Now, Philip, we're so happy to have you, man. And thank you for sending me music throughout the week. It really is cool to get, and I do listen to it. I listen to all of it, so thank you.
Oh, I know. And I know your time is limited, and so we'll talk more when I call in the second time. But this time, you guys answer, man, okay? Or call me, all right?
We'll do our best, damn it. We're trying.
All right, cheers.
Thanks, Philip.
Cheers.
All right, and that was Philip Kahn all the way from Kentucky.
Yes.
A hotbed of literary criticism.
Oh, is it?
I just made that up.
Oh, okay. Kind of startled me.
Yeah, well, it's startling.
Okay.
Anyway, so, anyway, moving on. All right, let's go to Titus in the UK, who stayed up very early for us.
Yes.
Titus.
It's still... There we go.
Titus, hello. How are you?
Yes, I'm here.
You are. I'm surprised to see you. It's very, very early for you, isn't it?
No, we've had our hour changed as well, so it's 3
o'clock. Oh, you did?
It's 4:10 now.
Oh, you do it on a different week.
Yes, yeah. we're just a week behind you, yes.
Okay.
I had no idea. I didn't know that. Okay.
I didn't know you guys changed.
Well, oh, yeah.
I thought to myself, well, for a couple of months, I'm going to have to not get on the show.
Boy. Well, we're really happy to see you, so thank you for calling.
I believe in what Dennis said about the, if you got sort of, if you question something, I think you could actually think that's a negative, I think, you know.
Okay.
I sometimes think that, anyway.
Sure, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yes, I've been terrible this week. I've been listening onwardly with these poetry slams. They do some really good poetry from the heart. They don't have to need a prompt, and they're all free verse. Yeah. And then, of course, I've been listening to Philip Devine, who was the poet laureate in America. I thought, my word, this poetry is fantastic. It kind of like makes you feel your self-esteem is lowering and lowering, you know. So I think I might not do that anymore. Anyway, I've got a poem here. It's called Mermaid of Zenna.
All right.
Zenna is a place in Cornwall, southeast UK, and it's a cove there called Pendle Cove. So there's a story about... a guy in the church who meets this woman, and she disappears, and he follows her and they're never seen again. So there's a, if anyone wants to look up the Mermaid of Zeno, it's a lovely little story. They're never seen again, but she's a mermaid anyway. Mermaid of Zeno. Tales from Reverie have evolved to create Nurture, played by Sepia, and how Haven left to sail on its wings, the silvery white gypsy moth's love's living feature. Quivering tales, the day belongs to Zeno, it brings November frost to these shores before we clasp her closer still. Halcyon, as our peace be thought, it sings, our praising of mermaids are bejeweled by jasper. A reach from here across the way of Pendor Cove, it likens itself to an opaque variety of mottled silica, displacing folklore as such, for it's a treasure trove to be enamored by. Diffidence becomes the basilica, grace of movement, thoughts how movements rove. Upon the ocean, cower for reason thus forbidden, I seem to remember. A violin played to my love song, it was perfume. She tried to deride what was hidden. Moths have the eerie definition to have us trail along. The urban myth of luminosity, she becomes lovelorn. Her aura holds the amethyst incandine would scorn. Blithe spirit, please leave us to treasure each moment. I found heart to quiver in that the zephyr searcher, whose loss she should have found, prevent our torment. That's it.
That's very, very nice. I'm familiar with the story as well, and I think that's beautiful.
And
very good job.
There's on YouTube, it's called Magic from the Mermaid of Zeno. It's a lovely little piece where he's actually singing to her and she's singing back. So, yeah, that's good.
Cool.
My throat is a little bit hoarse, but I got through that one.
You know, they say you can't get a little bit pregnant and you can't be a little bit hoarse. You're either a horse or not, you know.
That's right. Yeah, so I'll be careful.
No, we're definitely in the same boat here, Titus. Yeah. So okay. thank you so much. We really appreciate that. That was a beautiful piece, and it's...
And happy I can see that you're much better than last week anyway.
Oh, boy. Boy, we really were. Last week would not have gone well.
Yeah. Okay, then. Take care.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, too.
All right. Talk to you later. And that was Titus calling all the way from the UK. Yes. So happy to hear his voice. I didn't think we were going to hear him, so it's like a really pleasant surprise.
Yeah, it was. It was. And I appreciate the fact that he did call in, even though I didn't know their time had changed also. I
had no idea either.
I know certain parts in the world do it, and then others don't. And I'm like, can we just all not? Because going an hour forward really messes with the body's sleep cycle.
You know, I really feel like we should. I personally think it's a bunch of crap, and we should get rid of it.
But, you know, Kingsford has to make money selling their charcoal for their barbecues.
Is that how that works? Explain this to me.
Some weird Ford-induced why we still do it, so that we extend the summer so that we can have more barbecues.
That can't be real, can it? That's idiotic.
It's all about money.
Well, I believe.
I mean, it's supposed to save us on electricity usage. Or energy usage for the winter, so we don't hit our heater as often. I'm like, who hits the heater in the summer? But whatever.
All right.
Hours are hours, and I'm sorry. 12 hours of sunlight is still the same, no matter if you have one additional hour or not.
Right. That's craziness.
Sorry.
Okay.
I'm just weird.
No, that's all right. I appreciate your... I appreciate your incredible insight and wit into the situation.
But you know somebody who doesn't change her time.
That's true. And I wish we all could be a little bit more like Mary. Mary, how are you?
At all.
No,
that's all right. I appreciate
you.
How are you, Mary?
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello, hello, hello. Are you covering U2 tonight? Is that what's going on?
Echo, echo, echo mountain. it makes your head a little crazy, baby. It makes your head crazy.
Are you all right?
No, I'm great. I'm so great I'm going to read a poem. I'm not even going to sing.
What? Are you kidding me? What's going on?
I have no idea. I don't know who lives in my body anymore.
I don't know who lives in mine either. It's okay.
Get out of here. Jesus.
He seems like a good guy, though.
Oh, had I only known. Had I only known, babies, you have no idea. Okay. Here's the poem. A bird happened upon my window's ledge. It never stays for long. It sang of candidates in awe. It sang because it could. It whimpered of sad wanderings and occlusions and intrusions quietly made upon its innocent loins. And it sang soulful cries that heal my heart. And it sang gloriously and contently in its moment of connective bliss to no one in particular, or maybe to its own, and languages unknown to mortals as foolish as us. I'm so happy it dropped by to take me on its pretty flight of music to my ears. Sing, my pretty creature. Sing of hope and all things noble. Sing in the night and day alike. Sing your praises of value to this world, and let me see the honesty in your offering. So renewed when I listen and hear you, I'm sure I'm a better person because of the beautiful light you add to the world. A bird happened upon my window ledge. It never stays for long. End poem.
I really, really like that one, Mary.
Beautiful piece.
That was a beautiful piece.
Thank you.
For a minute there.
I'm not a poet.
Yes,
I'm
you
not
are.
Even, I don't know what I am.
Mary, I got to tell you, earlier this year, I was sitting there talking to somebody, and I told her, I don't even think I'm really a poet. And she goes, all right, let me get this straight. You do this World Poetry Open Mic show every week. Yeah. And you talk and connect with a lot of poets, and you deal with them all. Yeah. And you have several books of poetry out. Yeah. How are you not a poet, you jackass, is what she said to me. And I had to realize, you know what? And I'm not calling you a jackass, Mary, but I think you're a poet, too.
No, you get to giggle, and I get to shake your hand and thank you for honoring me to join your family.
Oh, absolutely. No question, Mary. You are very much an important part of it, and we're very happy to have you.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Woody woot, onward, yo.
All right.
All right.
We'll see you then. Thanks so much, Mary.
Bye.
Bye. All right. And that was Mary calling from Arizona.
Where the time does not change.
Where the time does not change. So she lives in a timeless state, really.
It's kind of neat,
huh? It's kind of interesting. It's not like time is an arbitrary thing we've all agreed on and put numbers on, right?
Hey, time is real. It's just a perception.
That's true. If you go a little bit off the planet, it completely changes. Okay.
Sorry, I couldn't help myself.
That's when you start, try telling kids that. You just see their brain go.
It just starts to melt.
Or when I told them.
Cosmos.
I know. I was showing them the movie Cosmos. You see these second grade kids going, what?
The calendar of the universe.
Or when I quoted another guy an astrophysicist saying, yes, nothing can travel faster than the speed of light. However, space can do whatever it wants. So if space is expanding faster than light can travel, we will never, never be able to reach a certain part of the universe unless we're in a wormhole of some kind.
Yeah, but if we have multiples of C, we're fine.
Well, yeah. But I mean, if, that's a big if.
You know how much power that would be?
I know.
Oh, my God.
I know.
Sorry. Sorry.
Anyway.
I get all geeky.
Whatevs. Okay. By the way, big ups to SpaceX for launching a used rocket and relanding it successfully.
Dude, that is so awesome.
Dropping the cost of space travel insanely low. That's the goal. Right there. As long as we can get to $500 per pound put into orbit, that's the break point.
That's
we're getting
awesome.
There. We're heading there.
That's awesome.
I don't even know how I know that. Let's go all the way to, hey, a place where they launch from.
Yeah.
Well, general state, Florida.
State
let's go,
of,
let's
yeah.
go to Diane in Florida, not Florida in Diane. Hello, Diane.
Hello.
How are you?
Hello. I'm good, sir.
Are we doing a Mary Poppins kind of thing?
I'm not sure.
Hello, Governor.
Governess? What are you doing this evening?
I am very well. How are you, gentlemen? Are you all feeling better tonight?
We're feeling quite a bit better, thank you very much.
Okay.
I feel like doing sit-ups and crunches and things. What about you, JT?
Oh, I'm much better, but not that active.
That's not good.
Sorry.
I'm getting some sort of a double feedback here, and I'm not sure why.
So, what it is the feed that you listen to the show needs to be turned down. So the Mixler...
I did.
Okay.
I closed that one, and I shut this one off. Mm.
Okay. So Skype should be your only audio. Now, good news is that if you read... We do not hear the echo.
Are you hearing an echo now?
No.
I am, but I don't know why. I think there is a problem with my computer. But it's okay.
Well, let's try this. How about we let you read your work, and then we'll see if we can figure it out. Does that sound okay?
It's okay, because what I'm going to read tonight is going to put you all to sleep.
All right.
I know. We won't even worry about daylight saving times, SpaceX, or anything else.
All right.
I know. Is everybody tired?
Space eyelids. Saving time. Let's do it.
Eyelids, here I come.
I'm done. I'm very sorry, gentlemen. I've been late to the party tonight. I was out earlier, and I came late to the party.
You're all right.
It's all right.
Okay. As Barbara may have told you, this was her week in the garden for providing our prompts. And her lovely prompts, it produced in me a poem that I am calling A True Way of Seeing. If I can talk correctly, I'm still getting the feedback. So, a true way of seeing. Peripheral vision fades to amorphous spots, intensely held in a deep reverie. As I face the fading sun, which is vanishing into a pool of dark night, lit by the blazes of the stars' constellations. Once I used to peer into the heavens, trying to figure out if there is a God above, until I learned that to truly hold faith, one must learn to look not up, but deep into the heart, into a place where we usually fear to go, our own mortality, our own dread, our own death. In the deep pool of hidden shadows that dwells inside of all of us, sometimes we can find hidden cave words, flowers that reveal themselves in the petals we sprinkle through our writing, or the acts that we visit upon ourselves and others, healing pain, bringing comfort to those in need. In the darkest shadows, sometimes we find a pearl of wisdom, of action, that when taken, leaves no doubt about who and what we are, what we wish to become, can become. But sometimes not all of us have the opportunity of becoming. In a sea of dark faces washed up on a shore of hunger and despair, why is God not caring for the forgotten? Or is he trying to show us that we need to care? Should we? As we sit down to eat and give thanks before partaking of a beautiful meal, we must remember to be thankful for all of the small things that make life dear. Because for many, there are far too many large things that can interfere with the ability to obtain even the small. Pondering words of wisdom, created to alleviate despair, I will read the Psalms to take heart, knowing that to find a balance between thought and direction can create ideas that, enveloped in hope, may reduce someone else's pain. As the stars in the sky move towards dawn, watching the sun rise and rise, a stirring of the limbs, lulled by silence, the day's dance has yet to start. But where in the midst of things rising, hope does also. On wings of words, on the winds of chance, we all share. While riding through the day, I raise eyes on to creators, those who craft the small things that make up the larger. To create a spark so that others may see the blessings we so take for granted. For those who take the time to gladden our hearts and make us aware of each precious moment of life. Distilled in love, shines a light on a path someday we almost face. Does God exist? I believe so, without concrete reason. For when we search our soul and learn to sing with wisdom and love, in the end, does it really matter? Because in creating, we emulate the God to be found in all of us, and in so doing, create our own path, a path of hope, of love coming. So this is the song for those who have had no chance yet, who are lost in despair. I raise a prayer of understanding of loss, a wail into the dark, because without the hope, the lights shine where needed. We need to pray that God can provide what will sustain us. And if he can't, we can, through our own actions or the actions that affect us.
Are you?
Hey, Diane.
Yes, sir.
I think I figured out how you're getting that echo. I think somehow you're still listening to the broadcast somehow.
Somehow.
And that's the only reason. It didn't go out that way. We were listening to it.
No, and and just so you know, I usually use Chrome as my browser.
Oh, I see.
And I've got you on that. And then when you put me all on hold, I open up my Mozilla. And then I closed that, and right now I'm still hearing the echo.
Yeah, so Mozilla's a huge jerk. I don't know what's going on with them. They always have an attitude problem.
They just recently updated it. It's created a whole bunch of software problems with my work.
Great.
Forgive me, I'm double laughing here.
you're double laughing. That's achievement
laughing.
Unlocked.
Echo. I miss you guys.
We're happy to be back.
I missed you guys.
Oh, we missed you too. really did.
So nice to see you back. I don't think I'm going to be able to stay around for much. I have to work tomorrow, guys.
That's okay.
So
we get it.
Y'all are feeling better, and we love you.
Hey, we love you too. Thanks so much. It really does mean a lot, and we're so happy that you're able to join us tonight too.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Thank you.
All right, I'm going to reboot, so I'll be gone for
All right, you must reboot.
Double trouble.
double trouble. You must reboot.
All right.
All right. Thank you. We'll talk to you later, Diane. And that was Diane.
Yes.
Calling all the way from Florida. Double trouble.
Florida. All right.
Well, you know, why can't I do that?
Well, it's all about the enunciation, sir.
Well, you know, it's true. It's true.
You're putting
it's all about
putting emphasis on
the wrong emphasis on the emphasis on the wrong syllable.
Yeah.
Yeah, that. Yeah. Okay.
That too.
All right. So let's go to
and wixing your words up.
Oh, I have to tell you actually. So yesterday we're rehearsing with the Flying W, right? And I'm singing Amazing Grace, part of a big four-part harmony thing.
Cool.
And I'm singing the lead. And the leader of the band goes, you know, I change some of the words so they're more inclusive. So through many dangers, toils, and snares, we have already come instead of I have already come, right?
Yeah.
So he says, just try to make it more plural. So I start singing, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. That saved a wretch like we. We were once lost, right?
Yeah.
And he just gives me the dirtiest look.
Yep.
Well, give him what he wanted. All right.
But I always love that song in the tune of House of the Rising Sun.
Ooh.
Oh, it works so well.
Amazing Grace. Right?
Yeah. How sweet The sound.
Oh, I'm going to have to work that out.
Oh, it's so good.
Well, that's cool.
When you try it, you're going to go, oh, that now is you just such gave me the idea. A good one.
That's the second crazy idea you've given me this week. I won't mention the other one. All right.
Hey, we still have a caller.
I noticed that. Let's go to, I've already read something from him. Let's go to Stan in Alabama. Stan, are you there?
Yes, I am.
How are you, sir?
I am doing fine, and how are you?
Doing real well, thank you. We're happy to have you on the show.
No, it's a pleasure.
Well, thanks for all the work you've sent in to us and all that. It's been real cool having that show up, and now we're happy to be able to hear you and everything.
Oh, that's great, because I do. I enjoy this. I enjoy this, and I enjoy listening to these other poets.
Hey, thank you.
Pretty amazing people out there.
They are, aren't they? We're always happy and just feel kind of humbled in the best way, you know, every week.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
All right. So what do you have to share with us?
Well, it's a little poem. It's called Infancy.
All right.
From labor pains, rite of passage. The struggle to be is made. Exposed, we are cradled and shielded from the chaotic world in maternal arms. We are here. For now, time has no meaning. But in its passing, senses gain clarity. A world of light, sound, and touch, in amazement and awe. Experiences as a first. We are aware. Vision becomes focused. Light in a spectrum, colors and shapes defined. And all are marvels. All are beautiful to see, without judgment, hate, or a sense of fear. We are one. Sound stirs the heart and excites the mind. Our voice heard in the language of goos, gahs, laughs, and yells. Thick in lyrics of joyous discovery. That voice. We begin to respond to this new world with no concepts of difference, politics, class, greed, or hate. Our stuffed animals, never, but always listen. But friend, we are innocent. At what other time were we ever more at peace than when all were and elation was found exploring the yet uncharted universe in the discovery of our own belly button? We were blessed. That's it.
Stan, really enjoyed that, man. Great work.
Thank you.
Yeah, man. And I want to let you know, just while we're on the air here, while we were listening, something happened. The feed dropped and we relaunched it. We'll have a recording of it. You know, everything's there.
Yeah.
But it might have dropped, excuse me, dropped out partway through. I really apologize about that. Sometimes that stuff happens.
That's all right.
But
hey, it's been that kind of night.
It sure has, man.
The recording will be full, that's not going to be a problem.
Yeah, and that'll be up within about 24 hours or so.
Yeah,
that'll be great. That'll be great.
But you know, Stan, we're really happy to have you on the show, and please keep calling, and please keep sending in stuff, and you know, if there's any poets you think are really really somebody you think would contribute to the group we've got going here too, let them know too. Okay,
I sure will.
Really appreciate you, man. Thank you.
Hey, and thank you.
All right.
Good night.
Good night. And that was Stan calling all the way from Alabama. Well, that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right.
That was a weird little hiccup, too.
That was a weird little hiccup. So, does everybody have it back? Let's see.
I think so.
Let's see. I'm going to turn this up here real quick. See what I'm getting.
The feed should be there.
All right.
This wonderful, glorious feed should be sending.
I'm not hearing anything.
This is not good.
All right. So here's the deal.
Oh, I know what it is.
Okay. You know what it is?
Yep. It's fixed now. My apologies to everyone.
Okay. I think we got it fixed. Let's see. We hit a special button. Special button. Wait for it.
And it's 11 seconds.
There we go. Perfect. Perfect.
So, like we were saying to Stan, the recording
yes.
of this will be incomplete.
The recording will be perfect.
Will be yeah. perfect.
So, and Stan did a great reading. You guys haven't heard it, but it was really good. Sucks to be you for not hearing Stan's reading. So that means you're just going to have to come back and listen to the podcast version, which will be up in about 24 hours.
That's right.
You know, it's the normal drill. Sometimes these things go down. Can JT, at this point, can yes. I announce the thing?
Yeah.
The thing we were talking about in August.
Yes.
I'm feeling a little overwhelmed with this, and okay. I just wanted to kind of ask and see if people here would be interested in helping jump up and help make this thing happen as okay. a group together. What okay. do you think about that?
You know, honestly, I think that would be a great idea to go ahead and call out to our supporters of
yeah.
the show
yeah.
and see, get their input, get their feedback, and yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think that's fine.
Okay, cool. So I'll just do it now then. So, you know, after doing Posick Fest this last year, we really enjoyed it, but we kind of felt like, especially with the departure of Jay Todd,
yes,
and everything, you know, Posick, the name itself kind of was coming to an end. Not that the thing itself
no
was going to come to an end, but just kind of the name and everything. And if I'm honest, I always thought the name Posick was pretty stupid. And I'm not saying that to like I'm not calling anybody
no.
stupid.
No,
I just really hated the name. And so it was just something that didn't really connect with me. So we were kind of trying to talk about what we could do. And we started doing the thing that JT and I do, which is where we dream a little bit big, but then we dream big and then try to back it with some execution.
Right.
So we had this idea, a worldwide poetry and music festival. Yeah, it sounds great. But yeah. we're doing it in Colorado. It's one spot. It's not worldwide. It's right. one spot.
Right.
There's a huge world out there that we're not touching. And then we started thinking about how we have listeners all around the world. And we have people who are poets and friends of the shows in many yes. places in the world. And then the idea really came around that we were thinking about when we do Posick Fest, we actually don't spend any extra money to do it. We find a location.
Yes.
We don't charge admission for people to come in.
No.
We do have to have some sort of a speaker system and some way to plug it in and send it out over the internet. So Wi-Fi or the internet there yeah. is you know, needed.
Internet connection and right. a PA system.
Right. But we don't spend any money to do it. And so I guess what I'm trying to kind of, we're trying to kind of work out is we'd love to do some sort of a poetry music festival that starts kind of around like Australia, New Zealand, something like that, starts there, then shifts broadcast. So we would have it streaming with an event that happens there. And then at some point, that event could go on, but we would shift the stream to a broadcast in India. And we have two people in India who are very, very, very generously kind of volunteered that they're going to work on trying to put together a couple events there.
Yes.
Then, and this is all in English, by the way.
Yes.
And then we have been in talks with Nadwan in yeah. Iraq, who's really excited about the idea. And then taking it from there, we would love to put it in the African continent, as well as whether it's South Africa, as well as, you know, being up, you know, kind of in Northern Africa as well. We would love to get that worked out. Europe, you know, we would love yes. to get the UK, hit to New York, to Georgia, to Colorado, preferably LA, something like that. And then the idea would be end in Hawaii at
right.
the end of the day.
Yes.
And it's a huge idea. And I know we won't be able to get the whole thing necessarily this year, but what if we did it every year? So we've decided to shift it so it's in the summer.
Yes.
August 5.
Yeah.
So what I guess the reason I'm explaining this is that I would love all of you, if you are interested in doing this, be our partner, step up, send us an email. Let's work together. We will help with everything we can do.
Know somebody who does.
Or if you know somebody
that's willing to do this.
Yeah, but
help.
I mean, what a cool
but
thing.
Yeah.
And the idea is, it's a beautiful little idea, but it's actually kind of a big one, is that in a time that feels really, really separated and everybody's, you know, at each other's throats, is this,
yeah.
you know, if we as artists can really come together and do something that is a worldwide statement of creativity and poetry and common humanity, that's a big thing for us.
A worldwide 24-hour poetry music festival.
Yes. And so that's what we're looking to do. We would love it if you would join us and help us figure out how to do this. And please, 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 anything you can think of, let's use resources, and resources don't have to be about money, right? I think money is forces you to kind of be not creative. You can just throw money at a problem. I think doing this without money makes it even better, because that means it's not a corporation thing. It's not just a cash deal, you know?
Right.
So at any rate, if you're interested in knowing more, send me a message, send us a message, you know, and we will absolutely happily work with you to try to make something happen. So August 5th, that's our big dream for this year, and we hope we can make it real.
And you can contact us on our Facebook page.
Oh yeah, any place you want to contact us, we'll be there. We'll get the message, and we'll go from there.
Wonderful.
All right. So what do you think, JT? Should we try another segment, or should we just go straight into return engagement so everybody can call in?
I think we should just go ahead and shoot for,
because technically
return.
We only got four.
Yeah,
because Philip was a holdover from the first segment. So technically we only got four of that last one.
Okay.
Let's just go to return engagement, and we'll see how things go. But anybody who wants to call in, you can still call in right now. We'll pick it all up. So return engagement, 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Skype ID, World Poetry Open Mic. Give us a call.
This is Draven from The Silent Still, and you're listening to World Poetry Open Mic.
Welcome back to the return engagement. What the hell was that?
Oh, well, if you've ever watched Ren and Stimpy, it was one of their wonderful games that they advertised.
Was it really?
From Blammo.
Because all I got, seriously, off that was,
if you feel
nature calling, don't be like Stalin and put all your workers in an electric fence.
Wow.
That's what pops in my head. I instantly go to Dictator.
Apparently.
Yeah.
You know, they're also the makers of Log.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's kind of like a Slinky.
Interesting. At SCTV, great reference. Slinky, the toy from hell. That's a good one. it's a great bit. Okay. So, you know, I really only have two modes, Napoleon and Napoleon.
That's the one.
Okay.
And of all things French, right? Either mode.
The revolution, man. I know you don't like it. I know you don't like it, but that's what happened. Mary, what is going on in the chat room? My God. Anyway. All right. So we're back. We have five great callers here for the return engagement, but let's go right away.
Oh.
Or do you have something to add?
I was going to say, do you have any more submissions?
I don't. Okay. I don't at the moment.
Okay.
But I do want to go directly to Don in California. We haven't heard from him in a little while. Don, how are you?
I have my nose full of poetry.
That's wonderful.
Can I blow it?
Please do.
This poem I'm going to read has gone through a series of rewritings. It's entitled A Mind Once Beautiful, and it's in memory of John Nash Jr. and his wife, Alicia. Mm. If you saw the movie A Beautiful Mind, based on the book, then you know the two people which this poem describes. A mind once beautiful. His viewfinder no longer sees his wife. His ears no longer taste her sentences. Bodies mangled by the accident so that the remains drop into boxes fit with screens to be topped, full by the unfeeling trowels which leveled down the load of ash. Tacked nameplates do not make public gifts or talents once possessed, as stated in the news, sterilized for our ears by on-air sources, and for our eyes by online texts. These two have moved from sudden to permanent. Their son thinks with an unkept plight, which he, with his daddy-like degree, could not be looked after if he lived outside a safe-kept community. And this reference is to one of the children that John and Alicia had, who inherited the mental illness that John Nash Jr. had.
Man, wow.
So
that was a beautiful
piece. Tribute. It's a tribute to him, and it's a tribute to his child.
You know, I had learned about read the book before the film had come out, and was really a big fan of John Nash before A Beautiful Mind came out. And I thought a lot of times when movies are made off a book, it's always hard to kind of reconcile it. I thought that was a special movie. It really captured a spirit, and you know, something I hadn't thought about him in years. And then when I heard last year, May 23rd, or no, 2 years ago, May 23rd, 2015, when John Nash and his wife, Alicia, were killed in a car accident. And it just stopped me in my tracks. And, wow, I just couldn't believe it. But what a remarkable man. And he fought through so much. And that mental illness that he's dealt with and that his children apparently deal with is just so brutal. And that was a great piece. Thank you, Don.
I'd also like to send out a tribute to those guys who come back from war, especially with the explosives that they deal with in ambush, which promotes mental illness. I get so sad sometimes.
Yes.
Thank you for the program. I have sent you a small schedule of on-air poetry programs.
Yes, I saw that. Thank you very much for that.
And so if you could publicize that, I will try to get the other shows to publicize it, and this would be appreciated.
Don,
thank you much.
Consider it done. Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye. And that was Don Hagelberg calling from California. Beautiful piece. And it's, you know, you have those things that don't really make any sense, but it's just super close to your heart, you know? And that's one.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of like what I would imagine it would feel like in the future. Hopefully I'm around for it. I know it sounds weird to say. But imagine being, you know, years from now, decades from now, and hearing that Elon Musk has died. Imagine what that would feel like, you know.
Well, yeah, you've got innovators and
people that you don't know but just really made an impact on you and the way you thought and the way you saw things. And in a weird way, John Nash, his story made me accept that the way that I think is just different than a lot of other people, and that it's okay. And that was oddly really difficult for me. Growing up. And so the book about him and then the film and just his story, really the essence of him was really something. So anyway, let's head to Cynthia in Vancouver for visit number two this evening. This is just a treat in general. Cynthia, hello.
Hi. That was a really powerful poem from Don.
Wasn't it? I thought so. Boy.
Yeah, so deep.
So I saw that you and we'll have to talk about this a little bit more outside of here, but I think that seeing that you traveled to Poetic Fest this last year, and it was so cool. But I think we need to spread this thing out, don't you think?
Yeah, either way, I love the idea of being able to do it in our own city. It's also my birthday that day, so I marked the calendar.
Oh my gosh, that's right. Well, I saw that you said it was your birthday bash. I didn't realize that was exactly your birthday.
That is exactly how we planned it.
Okay. We'll let JT take the credit on that one.
Yeah, my friend for his birthday is bringing a whole lot of musicians together, and I've always wanted to do music and poetry. Like,
when I did poetic portions, and we had the launch.
That's what this is, Cynthia. Cynthia, do it, and let's broadcast it. We'll jump in, and we'll broadcast from Vancouver part of the time, too.
Yeah, I would love to be part of organizing that from Vancouver.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
Great. Yeah, yep.
Love
it. Email you, and you can tell me what we need to have.
Well, we'll be in contact, but it's not as hard as it sounds. I know it sounds kind of intimidating.
That's
it's not that bad.
Yeah, yeah. The poetry and the music part and the food part and the party part, I'm totally good on that.
That's all fun.
The tech part, you have to really help us
with. It's not that scary. We'll work it out.
That part's easy.
Yeah. Wonderful, Cynthia. So before we talk more, because I know we could just talk ourselves silly here, what do you have for us this time? And we'll talk maybe for a second afterwards.
So I have another spring poem. We're just starting spring here. It's late this year. We had a normal winter, which we didn't like. We had the kind of winter the rest of the North America has, with snow and rain and cold and stuff. But now the cherry trees are just starting. So this is one for the cherry trees. It's called How to Honor the Moon. Like the fragrant colors of spring, descending like manna from citrus-tinted branches of blossoms in the rain, like the silence of the days, a flow of unspoken story moving softly through an abundance of petals. Like current dreams traveling light, an orchid that slowly, courageously opens. She is always near, blessing our sanctuary, no matter how far we travel from the rhythms of home. Be gentle with her spirit, allow for her light. Every broken moment made whole in her divinity. End poem.
It's another beautiful piece. Thank you.
Thanks. So that's about looking at the moon in the budding cherry trees, which actually last night it was the sliver of a moon last night, but we were outside and we were underneath the moon looking at all the cherry trees lit up around an art gallery. It was really beautiful.
I think
that's we're finally getting into the nice weather.
Well, that's always been something that I've always really noticed that is really kind of uniquely special about you, is that you really do take the time to notice the things around you. And I think that's the soul of a poet has a lot of that in that. And I remember picking you up from your hotel to drive to Posick Fest, and you were outside looking around at things. taking pictures. And I thought, how cool is that, though? You know, I mean, some people just sit there in their hotel and drink Starbucks and act depressed. You know, I think you did. The fact that you were out was great. And so you really do walk the talk at the same time. So it's very appreciated.
Thanks.
All right. Well, Cynthia, we'll be in touch this week then. We'll start working it out.
Wonderful.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Wonderful. Congratulations on all this. It's a great idea.
Well, don't congratulate us yet. Let's all pull it off together, and then we'll have a global party. We'll just turn on music and make party sounds for a while, and then we can call that our celebration. Okay. All right. Thank you, Cynthia. We'll talk to you later. Bye. I actually really like the idea of playing party music and just woohoo, woo for like 2 hours. All right, good party, everybody. See you later.
Yeah, that's a...
You know, so with the Silent Still, we did that big show, right?
Yeah.
And then we were supposed to have the after party. Now, of course, I wasn't really a member of the Silent Still at this time.
Right.
I was just kind of an auxiliary, right? They scheduled it for like 2 weeks later, and that was only because I said, don't have it a month later. Like, they really pushed it out. And then I get there, and it's just like hanging out. So I'm talking to another collaborative person. I'm like, so what do you think of that after party? And she goes, it sucked. She's like, if you guys are going to be rock stars, you need to throw rock star parties. So you know what we're doing?
Yeah.
I'm going to hire her to throw the party next time.
There you go.
Done. All right. Let's move on from there, because I'm not good at throwing parties. Let's be honest here.
Neither am I.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, let's go to Marion, Arizona. I wonder how good she is at throwing parties.
Probably good.
Mary, are you any good at throwing parties?
I throw a party every day, but... So far, nobody's coming.
I feel like I have a party in my shower every day. No one shows up.
Yeah, I'm just waiting. You know,
I've
I'm
sent
waiting,
out copious, waiting. Copious invitations, and no one shows up.
Oh, don't make me snort. Come on.
All right,
come
I'm sorry
on.
About
no,
that.
I'm
sorry
to
about
be
that.
Serious.
I made myself a promise.
Going on. I love you guys. I my mind woke up. You know, I'm not gonna be poignant or long or boring or anything, but just gonna say, my mind was dormant a very, very long time. It was in science and it was in cancer research and then it was in business and it was going around the world, but not really because I was an indentured servant, but I was a mom and I really tried to do it all. But then I got sick and then 13 years later, I woke up and now 3 years later, here I am.
Oh, my goodness. Well,
so,
as someone who benefited from cancer research and all of that, I do want to say thank you, though, for putting that time in.
It was a humbling work, and it was lovely work, and I appreciate and still hold close in thoughts the people that I worked with those 10 years.
Wow.
Long time ago now. I'm just a silly songwriter and singer now, and I'm going to do a poem by Lewis Carroll tonight called Jabberwocky.
All right.
It's a nonsense poem he wrote in 1871. He included it in his Through the Looking Glass. And here we go. 'Twas brillig, and the slithy toves did gyre and gimble in the wave. All mimsy were the borogoves, and the mome raths outgrabe. Beware the Jabberwock, my son, the jaws that bite, the claws that catch. Beware the Jujube bird, and shun the frumious Bandersnatch. He took his vorpal sword in hand, long time the maxhome foe he sought. So rested he by the tum-tum tree and stood a while and thought. And in this uffish thought he stood, the Jabberwock with eyes of flame came whistling through the tubsy wood and burbled as it came. One, two, and through, and vorpal blade went snicker-snack. He left it dead, and with its head he went galumping back. And hast thou slain the Jabberwock? Come to my arms, my beamish boy. O frabjous day, coo-doo, coo-lay, he chortled in his joy. 'Twas brillig, and the slithy toves did gyre and gimble in the wabe. All mimsy were the borogoves, and the mome raths outgrabe. End poem.
That damn Jabberwocky. Mary, thank you so much for the read. I like you reading stuff. And as a songwriter, primarily a songwriter, there is no such thing as a silly songwriter. And even though we might feel that way sometimes, that there is no such thing as a silly songwriter. We got to remember that the things that we do that sometimes feel really silly are actually pretty important to a lot of people.
Oh, how I honor all your words and your music and your talent, sir. And thank you for that.
Of course. Thank you.
All right. Nighty-night all.
Good night, Mary.
I'll listen till the end.
All right.
I know my fingers get so busy. If I'm not on the piano, baby, I got to do something. So bear with me.
Oh, no, I get it. I was just looking down. I saw this just massive string of stuff, and I go, I hope she's not just... She's finally had it. Damn it, Philip. That's the last innuendo you make tonight.
Bye.
Right. Thank you, Mary. Good night.
Yeah.
Okay. And that was Mary calling all the way from Arizona. Not too far from here, but man, with weather like we're having right now. Do you ever look, I know you like the cold. I look outside and sometimes I'm like, I think I was made for warmer climes, but...
Yeah, man. You do.
I feel that way.
I look like at it cold. Going, man, if it's green and what it's doing right now, it's perfect.
Yeah, I mean, it's beautiful. Absolutely gorgeous outside.
I love bloom. Don't get me wrong. I do love the springtime.
Yeah.
It's just I dread the heat that comes with it.
I get it.
So,
have you always been that way?
Yeah, I've actually never enjoyed the heat. I lived in El Paso. Oh, my goodness. That was nothing. We only had... exactly. Where we only had two seasons, the wet season and the dry season. It's always hot. And that's very true.
I have seasons like that in my life.
And it gets bloody cold at night.
Really?
Well, it's a desert, so all the heat just makes sense. Gone.
Yeah.
It gets really cold, and sometimes it frosts, you know, but that's beautiful in the morning when the sun comes up. Boom, it hits all that frost.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
See,
Sorry.
I believe it. No, I totally get it. Things, I totally get that, yeah. Man. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude. I remember doing a joke with El Paso. I would do the short version.
Yeah, okay.
So it would start. Do the short version. It's a long song, right? So it goes, bum dum da 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 dum dum da 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 dum da 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 dum dum bum dum dum. One little kiss and Felina, goodbye. And honestly, that's all I know of El Paso. Now.
Wow.
Well, now it's all I know of El Paso. Anyway, all right. Let's speaking of El Paso, let's go to Barbara in Connecticut. Did you like that, Barbara?
I did like that a lot.
That's what we called a smooth pivot intro.
I really enjoyed that. It was, you know, a cappella and sweet.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, my intentions were good. Let me put it that way. What'd you think of the song? Well, you had good intentions.
No, it was good. I liked it.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you.
It needed a... You know, maracas were, you know, that.
Yep, maracas were the thing it needed. Yeah, I heard that, and the first thing I thought was maracas, not like a guitar or something. Maracas, that was the thing we needed. We also needed six yaks making noise in the background to add the authenticity before we needed a guitar. I'm just being sarcastic now. All right.
Mariachi band. No, really, mariachi band.
You know,
that's what you need.
There are so few things in life that wouldn't be better with a mariachi band, to be honest with you.
It's very true.
I actually had the idea.
In cowboy movies, they always have that with the mariachi band.
They're everywhere, you know? Barbara. They're everywhere. You can't go anywhere in Mexico without the mariachi band showing up. Seriously, I remember sitting there. I was in Mexico, sitting there on the beach, completely alone, and suddenly I heard... And then, you know, like they're right there. It's they're just hanging on the beach.
Did they wash up on shore?
Anyway,
infestation of mariachis.
You know, yeah.
We need to cull the herd. They're coming down. They won't survive. There's
okay?
Not enough chips to go around. No, but I think I've just hit on the genius idea of the century, Barbara. I can't let this tiger go. I got it by the tail. No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I do want to let you know that we went to a Westchester, when we lived in Westchester, we went to a Mexican restaurant in Westchester.
Oh,
and
yeah?
They did have a mariachi band come around. While we were eating, yes.
And Barbara, if you came out here, you go to Casa Bonita, and they have one there, too.
They also have someone they have these amazing, Barbara, you got to understand, they have these amazing cliff divers, and
inside.
They have these sopapillas,
yes.
And I don't know what's going on, Barbara. It's happened every time I've been there. A damn gorilla comes running out and steals your sopapillas, and then they have to catch him.
Yep. Every time.
Yeah, that's the truth.
$40?
No.
Nope. Sopapilla. Oh. Not $40.
Sopapillas. I've had those, yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
but delicious. I mean, I don't know. Yeah. I don't want to take you away from because, you know, the world famous Mexican food in Westchester is really considered the best.
No, they have sopapillas up here, too.
Well, I'm sure they do. They're not heathens.
Yes, they do, but not gorillas.
Well, you say that now. That's the thing about gorillas. They're always there when you least expect it.
Okay.
Mark my words, Barbara.
So, anyway, during this show, I've been very, very busy because I just submitted my very first screenplay to Action on Film.
Wonderful. Congratulations.
So I'm very excited and worried and nervous and whatever, but...
Yes, big deal.
Big deal. Good job.
You know, and it was a really big deal, and of course my friend egged me on to do it, and she said, "Oh yeah, Barbara, you should do this. You should make a play of this." I said, "Oh, okay," you know, thinking I'd never do it, and then I started writing, and I thought, "Yeah, I can do this."
Of course you can.
The formatting is really crazy.
Well, screenplay formatting, it takes a little bit to get used to, but eventually you fly through. Did you do it on what program did you use?
No, I used nothing,
So did you write it with your mind, or how did you?
No, I used Amy, my friend Amy, who's the screenwriter.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, so I had learned format. I do a lot of screenwriting and screenwriting work, so I was just wondering if there's different programs for it. So, okay, that makes sense.
No, I didn't use it, but I was on that Excel, whatever that one that has no vowels with it. Exum or whatever that is.
It has no
vowels.
I did
go on that one, but I didn't stay on there because I'm no good on formatting things and programs and things like that. I wind up, you know, doing it myself. So I did it myself, and then I had Amy to fix it for me. So, but I fixed it all and I put it in there, and it's in there. So I'm real excited.
Well, you should take Amy out to a world famous Mexican food dinner in Westchester.
I will, but we'll have to worry about the gorillas. In that note, okay, on that note, I'm going to read you something from my book, You'll Probably Forget Me, Living With and Without Hell. And the reason I'm reading it to you is because I went on Twitter today. I rarely go on Twitter, but I get notifications of people that are retweeting things of mine, and I noticed that even though I haven't really done any promoting of it, that three people retweeted the information about my Scriggler poem of the day from last year. And so I thought, well, that's kind of a sign. I should read that. So it's called My Thoughts Turn to You, and it's on page 115 if you have the book. Okay. I don't think of you often, except when I do. A glimpse of a Klondike bar reminds me how we used to buy those for you sugar-free. And the memory brings tears as if a violet mist had suddenly formed in front of my eyes. Other memories slide in, pushing this one away. Your smile, a beacon, reminding me of sunrises we caught together, the sky brightening as purple clouds tinged with orange, and the sun peeked over the horizon, my sleepy eyes wanting the darkness to stay for a few more hours so we could slip into bed. And now I skip the sunrises and the mornings when your voice would be telling me current events as you went about your routines, and I forced myself to wake and join you sometimes so I could feel the energy you emoted. Or on days when I remained half asleep, you cooking eggs for yourself, the smell remaining as a reminder of your presence, the pan and your utensils in the sink left as remnants of your lonely repast. And now I sleep through sunrises and wake to the middle of the day when morning is over. No smells of eggs loiter, and thoughts of you are not present except when I look around the room and remember each day you are not here. And so the day begins as sunlight fills the bedroom, and I wish to slide under covers and sleep until memories of your face and your voice no longer flood my head, and the stark reminders of your voice, of your loss, are not around my space. And though I kid myself into believing I can accept you are gone, what I would give for the feel of your bearded face beneath my hand and the brush of your lips on my cheek. End poem.
There's always a powerful piece there, Barbara. Thank you.
Thank you. So that's the... Sorry, I it kind of gets people down after, you know, that whole thing, but, you know, just... That is, you know, from last year. I feel a little better this year, but April is coming up, and then May, and it's going to be a hard, you know, 2 months, so I'm hoping I can get through them without too many glitches. But you guys are really on track tonight. Funny, funny, funny. So
oh,
keep
thank
it up.
You. Thank you very much. And thank you for everything you bring to us.
Oh, you're welcome. You're definitely welcome. You're, you know, you're big inspirations. And like Philip always says, you know, you're here and we love you. And you allow us to read, which, you know, is really exciting because not everyone does.
And that's why we're here. That's why we're here.
So great.
Thank
okay.
you.
So have a great week, and I'll be listening to the rest of the program, I guess.
Looking forward to it. We'll okay. we'll talk to you next week, too, okay?
Okay. Okay. All bye-bye, right. Michael.
Bye. And that was Barbara calling from Connecticut. I don't know why I'm talking like this. It's kind of weird when I do, isn't it?
Next to El Paso. Sorry.
Coming all the way from El Paso by way of Kentucky. It's Philip. Philip. Wait for him. There. Philip, how are you, my friend?
Are you kidding me?
Is it happening again? Okay. I can send him a message.
Yeah.
I'll ask him to call back.
Yeah, because, you know, he should be in there.
Philip, you call back because I think we're having issues there. And we're going to have to figure out what's going on.
Hmm.
Okay. So, Oh, there he is. Collins, take a live.
Live.
Philip? There
I
you
heard
are.
Live.
You're there.
I heard live.
You
yeah.
heard live, and
I'm
now
glad
you're
somebody,
live.
I'm glad somebody resuscitated me. I was, you know.
It's one of those weird things where you suddenly come on the air and we're like, and it's not working for some reason. What's going on? So we're
it's a cabal against, you know, poets, artists.
You got to understand, Philip, we actually get accused of that. We've been accused of that in the past of actually.
You have been accused? Wait,
yes.
Why? We've
been accused of keeping certain poets off the air.
Wow, really?
Because of part of a government conspiracy or something. That's actually happened before. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
No, I don't consider, yeah, I just think that's ego getting in the way. I mean, it's amazing how much people's egos can suddenly, like, turn everything into sabotage against you or something. I mean,
well, that's
I think
true.
That's,
but then again, I don't want to undermine how much they might have pissed the government off, too. I mean, maybe it's been subliminal. Maybe, like, you know, I have these things passing me as I'm driving here. There's signs that are made set up to say, don't let them on the air. And I just don't know that, you know?
Yeah, well, yeah.
Like a Manchurian candidate.
They live.
Right. Well, yeah. And then, just me personally, having dealt with my own sort of madness, I know not until probably you get to the level of John Lennon, do you really have them, you know, tapping your phones. I mean, of course, the NSA is listening to everyone.
Everybody's tapped now, man. We're all John Lennon now.
Yeah, but I mean, but still not with the same sort of interest.
Sure,
you know, it's not,
sure.
I mean, I, you know, but anyway. It's a piece in with me all the time, you know. I'm always happy to lay in bed and smoke dope for a couple of weeks and, you know, talk about love and poetry. So, you know, tap me. I'm still going to tell you the same thing. And that's the truth about me. And I don't mean to, you know, get all crazy with everybody.
No,
but,
cool.
You know, you put a gun to my head, I'm still going to tell you the same thing. And, you know,
yeah.
If you pull the trigger, fine. It might silence me, but I'm still going to say it. So,
right. It doesn't change
you know.
Who you are. You know, yeah.
Yeah, no, not me. I mean, I don't really, you know, I'm like, bring it. If you want to bring it, I'm ready. But that's me being a soldier and being a, you know, a true warrior. I mean, you know.
I get it. I'm with
play,
you, man.
I'll roll.
Yeah,
you know,
I'm with
anyhow.
You. No,
that's
it. This is why we get along,
yeah.
Philip.
Well, I'm glad you're fighting on my side or I'm fighting on your side.
Yeah.
Either way, you know.
Both ways.
Yeah, absolutely. So cheers to that. And I really appreciated Don's poem tonight.
Yeah.
That really moved me. So anyway, clumsily segueing into a title. Here we go. All right. Interior monologue as heard while grocery shopping with a friend after being recently released from psychiatric care. How apropos, right? Here we go. Imagination invariably leads back toward reiterations of itself. The way I understand celestial spaces
inhabit rooms in hallucinated mansions built from monasteries and monads, whose doors open like fractals, where tribes en masse fled across dunes sculpted out of monotheistic ideals. Boundless first-person pronouns used as shorthand for things we cannot explain, only accept, housed in this measure of flesh. Doubt defines as much as affirmations, approximately no nearer universal truth that has yet been sufficiently proven. Cautiously threshing platitudes from pith and wisdom. My troubling, mumbled speech concerned solely with invitations of the unadorned, elsewhere patient and steadfast. Queer to wander freely among them, whispering with unseen cartographers, busily charting arbitrary regions inside infinities that often unnerve, perhaps terrifies everyday common sense. Imitating Keats at the precipice, where drowsy hours languorous confer with something resembling unanticipated inspiration, symbols, voices susurrous, saying something beyond the unwitnessed terminus. Awakened long enough to hear you ask if I've got enough spare change for some purchase when I see constellations luminous, strewn and unnumbered, cradled in my opened, nicotine-stained palms. Lifelessly as I may be, aimlessly bemused by all these inarticulate noises, littering harmonies unheard, motionless somewhere between gestalt vicissitudes of history, self, and hubris, decaying no differently than the cosmos. And there it is.
Wow.
Oh, thank
great
you,
piece,
Michael.
Man. Great piece.
Can I just make like one, like this is just someday maybe, like maybe, you know, you don't have to take this seriously, of course.
Yeah.
But maybe one day, could you guys bring like cap guns in lieu of clapping? I think that would be so cool.
Yeah, or like, real guns.
That too. If you want to go Hunter S. Thompson, heck yeah, bring it, man. Light it up.
See, instead of clapping, we could be, yahoo! You start shooting guns in the air. Yeah.
That sounds great. Maybe have that for like, you know, the whatever you did with Posing Fest. I didn't catch all of that. I knew that there's something going on. But, yeah, anything to help sell poetry, sell the show, get people interested. I mean, I can envision, like, everybody using their cellular devices and somehow broadcasting both either at a live show and also having everybody using their cellular devices so that we can all call in, use Skype, be on the, yeah, I don't know how you want to do it. I don't know any of that stuff, by the way. I just know how to save documents. But, you know, I can see it. I think it would be great.
Well, I mean, we're up for any ideas you have, too. And, I mean, really, we want to make this a collaborative deal because it's not about us. It's about, you know, everybody.
Yeah.
So that's the point.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm down. I mean, however right. I can help, you
know. Well, we'll be in touch through messages, too. You know, I think anything is useful, you know.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Michael. I appreciate your patience, your kindness. Appreciate you, too, JT. You doing all the work back there. Michael taking all the credit.
That's
I know.
Right, man. Don't tell everybody, Philip.
No, right. JT doing all this work. Wake, working. Michael, he takes all the credit.
That's good. You know? Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
That's right.
That's right. We know who the wizard is.
Yeah, right. And I make no bones about that.
That's very true.
Hey, yeah. I don't have an epic theme song. He has an epic theme song.
That, very true. Very true.
It's really great hearing you guys. I'm glad you're back on the air. I'm glad you guys are feeling better. Sorry about the plague, but you guys recovered. So
it's good. What happens. Yeah. 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 Sometimes it just goes down. And so
weird.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Hey, if it took 5 years to, if it only happens once, you guys are having a pretty good track record there. So you know, that's true.
That's the way I feel about it. True. It's like if we, you know, this is about as good of a record as you get usually. You know?
Yeah. It's like, it's better than the government does. That's for sure. Yeah. So, you know, well,
there's a lot of things better than that. Yeah, right. Even when our show melts down and doesn't work, we're still doing better than the government does a lot of the time.
Right, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for having me. It's good to hear you guys. And we're off on Good Friday, whenever that is. So,
2 weeks. Two weeks from today. So we'll be here. We'll
two
be
weeks
here.
From today.
Next week, we'll be here.
Yep, there it is on my calendar, 14th. All right.
You got it.
All right. Cheers, guys.
Right, cheers, Philip. Thanks so
thank
much.
You.
Bye.
Bye.
And that was Philip Cunn all the way from Kentucky. That wraps up our return engagement segment.
Wow, what a day.
What a day. What a night.
What a night.
My
yes.
eye feels like it's going to fall off for some reason. I've been rubbing it.
Looks
now
like it.
Does it? Is it red?
I don't know. You have it squinted shut.
Well, is it red?
It looks irritated
well,
and a little watery.
Okay, so that's probably what it is.
Yeah.
Do we have an eye patch? I may be becoming a pirate.
We can make an eye patch.
Okay, that's all I need to
Would
know.
Would you like that done in cat fur?
No, but that might have been what caused this. So very possible. I'm down here in a couple weeks. So, from myself, from JT, from Ursa, from Novia, from every animal here, as well as JT's wife, Christine, who was also sick and couldn't be here. We hadn't mentioned that earlier.
That's true. We did.
She'll be joining us as soon as she can.
Yes.
Thank you so much for everything, guys. We're so happy to be back. Thanks for sticking with us. The podcast should be up in about 24 hours, and we'll see you next time.